Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Amen. Good morning. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord again after a few days off, right? Amen. Do you all have a good Christmas? You made it through Christmas. You look like you fared it pretty well, and you made it through two snowstorms, and you're here today, and praise God, God's got a word for you today, I'm sure, and that He's going to encourage you and lift your lives, and let's just turn it over to Him right now. Father, we thank You for eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts that are receptive to Your word and what You would have for us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, I hope you all had a great Christmas. You know, we always want to be aware that, you know, that people struggle through the holidays. People struggle through Christmas and New Year's, and the holidays are tough on people. You know, this might be a year where you've had to navigate the holidays and you've lost a loved one within the last year. Maybe, you know, you've had health issues. Maybe the finances weren't so great this Christmas, you know. And if that's the case, you know, you're in the right place today. Because God has a word for you, and church was institutionalized by God so that we can come together and help each other and encourage each other when we're going through these difficult times and situations. Because in this life, we will have troubles, trials, and tribulations, right? That's what Jesus said. But He said, take hold, I've overcome them all. And if He's overcome them all and He's dwelling inside you and I, then we can overcome them all. And with the help of each other, we can make it, right? And we can do this thing called life. So whether you struggled through last week, maybe you struggled through 2012, maybe you say to me, Pastor Chris, my whole life's been a struggle. Well, God's got a word for you today, and I'm sure He's going to encourage and lift your life today. So no matter what your situation is, and no matter what you're going through, God knows and He has an answer. I've entitled today's message, Subject to Change. Subject to change. And the passage we're going to speak about today and refer to is Jeremiah 29:11. This is one of my favorite scriptures. If you've been a Christian for a while, I'm sure you've run across Jeremiah 29:11. But I want you to have an understanding of this verse. We're going to dig into it today, and I'm going to concentrate on the tail end of it. But let's look at Jeremiah 29:11 if you have your Bibles. If you don't, you can look on the big screen. But write this down so when you get home, you can underline it. You can highlight it, and every time you're going through a difficult situation in 2013, you can look at this verse, and you're going to have understanding after today that God has a plan and purpose for your life. So turn to your neighbor and say, this is God speaking to me. Now turn to the neighbor on the other side. This is God speaking to you. Listen, guys, this isn't just some verse out of a book that just sounds nice. This is actually God Almighty speaking into your and my life. That's good news, amen? That God is thinking about you and I. Let's look at that verse. It says, God speaking, say, God speaking to me. And here's what He's saying to you. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, Christopher. You put your name in there. Thoughts of peace and not evil. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Well, praise God, there's a lot of good news right there in that verse, right? Let's look at that for a little bit. Thoughts of peace. Who couldn't use a little bit more peace? Maybe today, tomorrow, an upcoming year. How about He says, I have plans to prosper you. Now remember, He's speaking to you. Who couldn't use a little bit more prospering? Come on, man. You guys all prospering that good? We all could use to be a little bit more prospering. Why? So we can give into other people's lives. Out of the abundance we give to other people. And it says the plans to give you a hope and a future. And this is what we're going to concentrate on today. A hope and a future. I want you to check out another version or translation, that same verse. It's out of a Message Bible. And this is God speaking. Let's say, this is God speaking to me. Now check out this version. It says, I know what I'm doing. Period. We could wrap it up right there and say we had church already, right? Hey, it's God, and He says, I know what I'm doing. That's good enough for me, man. But he continues. It says, I have it all planned out. Now, I could stop right there. You know how many times, if you ask Jerry, how many times Christopher has said, don't worry, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out, Jerry. But I'm a guy. And I say that, but sometimes I don't have it all planned out. Sometimes I don't have it all together. But I do know the one who does. Amen. And his name is God. And he says, I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future that you hope for. Praise God. I'm going to share with you two illustrations today. And I want you to, more than the illustrations, there's two principles, godly principles behind the illustrations. So as I share these illustrations with you today, Jesus used illustrations with the boys all the time so that they would be able to relate to what he was trying to get across to them. And I like to use illustrations because it makes me remember. It allows me to paint a picture. Maybe it's a guy thing, I don't know. But I can remember the principle that way. So the first illustration I'm going to share with you, let me grab a drink of water here first, excuse me, was a group of us pastors this last spring went whitewater rafting down at the Yawk. And the first day we went on the lower Yawk, and it's like class 3-4 rapids. It was cool. You know, I've done that many times. But then the next day we did the upper Yawk. And upper Yawk is class 5 rapids. They're some of the craziest rapids in all the United States. That's pretty wild, right in our backyard, right? And they're going to show you some pictures up here of us going down the river. Guys, I'm telling you, that river had boulders as big as cars in them and as big as trucks lined throughout the river. And it had drop-offs. Like, you'd be just floating down, and they'd say, hey, we're coming up on a set of rapids. And it dropped 4 to 5 foot. I mean, you just plunged down in. It was awesome. We had a great time, you know. But we really enjoyed it. But this one particular set of rapids, they said, was the most technical, okay? And they told us, really pay attention. You know, it was like one you didn't want to mess around with. So there was three people and a guide in each raft, and we had 3-4 rafts. So Pastor Matt and myself and Mark and our guide went down first through this particular set of rapids. And we navigated down through. I didn't say it looked pretty, but we made it down through. And then Pastor Zach and JC and Steve and their guide came down next, and they went down through. And they came down through, and after each set of rapids, there's a little pour, an eddy right there that you can pull your raft over, gather yourself back together after you went through that ordeal, and then also watch to see the rest of your team come through to make sure they make it through all right. Well, Pastor John Spencer, which I see isn't here today in this service, he was in the first one. He probably couldn't take it hearing it twice. But he came through on the last raft with Lenny Weaver and their guide. And when they came down over top of this drop-off, their raft went perpendicular, and they both flew out of the raft into the worst part of the river. I mean, it was raging rapids, white frenzy, water just gushing around. Well, Pastor John Spencer was out first. He flew out, went under, and we didn't see him for a while. And I think I was the first one to spot him. I said, I see his foot. And his foot come up for 1 second. Without a shoe on, it came out, went back down under, and he's just getting beat against the rocks. Well, he did live. He's still around. He looks pretty good still for the beating he took. But they pulled him up out. But Lenny Weaver fell out at the exact same spot. Same white water rushing past him. Same rocks, same current, everything. And he landed on a rock, a big rock. And the correlation that I want to illustrate for you today is both guys fell out in the same exact spot. One got swept away, had no footing, no security at all, and was taken down through the river and getting beat up on the way. The other one landed safe and secure on this rock. And he was, you know, I can remember as we were yelling out at both of them, I can remember looking up at Lenny, and Lenny's standing on this rock, and you have to know Lenny, he's got this great smile. It's more like a grin that goes ear to ear, and he's just smiling. I said, Lenny, you okay? And he's just water gushing all around him, but he's safe and secure. He don't know how he's going to get off that rock, but he's on the rock, okay? He's solid. He's safe. I can also remember Pastor John Spencer when they pulled him up out of the water, and he looked over at us. His eyes looked like cue balls, and, man, he looked like he went 10 rounds with Mike Tyson. He was... he was pretty beat up, but he made it through the rest of the ordeal, and we had a great time. But what I want you to see, guys, is I don't know where you're at on your river raft tour through life today. Maybe you've got thrown out of your raft. Maybe you've run into some obstacles. Maybe you've not had a good run down the river. But I've got a word for you today from God that He's there for you. And He wants to help you. And He wants you to be safe and secure. He wants you to have a foundation underneath you. Because life can get crazy, just as those Class 5 rapids can be. But we can have a security in God. And we can be like Lenny Weaver standing out in the middle of that raging river, smiling, knowing that we have a firm foundation underneath us. God is referred to in the Bible, throughout the Bible, as the rock of our salvation. So as I'm talking about references to God, think about that river, think about that big rock. Don't think about Pastor John Spencer. Think about Lenny Weaver on that rock. But God is referred to as the rock of our salvation. He's referred to as the immovable rock, the unshakable rock. He is the rock of our salvation. Jeremiah 29:11. I want you to put that back up on the screen again, guys. This is God speaking to you. He says, "For I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. Thoughts of peace and not evil. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." And what I want to concentrate on this morning is the hope and future. The key word there is hope. And hope defined is a confident expectation. A confident expectation. God wants you and I to have a confident expectation for tomorrow. He wants us to have a confident expectation that next week is going to be better than last week. God wants you to have a confident expectation that 2013 is going to be better than 2012. Can you believe that? Listen, guys, that's God speaking to you. When you can have hope, you can know what your future's like. Because it's based upon God, the immovable rock, the unshakable rock, the rock that never changes, never varies. Here's what hope brings. Hope brings courage. It inspires courage. Hope ignites faith. And hope fuels our prayer. Because it's based upon God's Word. And if I know God's Word for my situation and my circumstance, then it can inspire courage. I can make it. I can make it through tomorrow. I don't know how. I don't need to know how. I put my faith in my God that He's going to carry me through. It ignites my faith. It fuels my prayer, the same as gas fuels our automobiles to go forward. Hope ignites our prayer and fuels our prayer. You might be saying, "Pastor Chris, I hear what you're saying, but man, I've had a difficult year. I'm not prospering. Yesterday wasn't so good. In fact, my whole life's been a bummer. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but that's not what's taking place in my life." You might be saying, "I feel like Pastor John Spencer. I feel like I've been thrown out of my raft. I feel like I've been beaten down on the rocks. The water's rushing over me. I'm trying to swim to safety, but I'm not getting anywhere." And that may be a fact, guys. That may be a fact that those things are occurring in your life right now. But what I learned many years ago, and it's really helped me, and I'm trusting it's going to help you, is you know the difference between a fact and the truth? The fact and the truth. There's a big difference. In this day and age in which we live, the world would tell you that they're one and the same, that facts and the truth are the same, and they're not. They couldn't be further apart. Facts are subject to change. And that's where I come up with the message, the title for today's message. Facts are subject to change. Illustration. I get up every morning, I eat my breakfast, and I turn on the news or turn on the radio to catch the news blurbs and the weather. And one day, eat two eggs. Two eggs are good for you, eat two eggs. Next day, eggs are bad, don't eat eggs. One day, chocolate good. Next day, chocolate bad, stay away from chocolate. You know, right now, it's daytime. That's a fact, right? But a couple hours is going to be nighttime. Right now, it's cold outside. In a little while, it might be warm. facts are subject to change. They're changing all the time. In fact, the world in which we live in, which is based upon facts, is changing all the time. So you could see if you're basing your life on facts and they're changing, how could you be solid? How could you be firm? How could you be set? Okay? God never meant for us. Facts are okay, but He never meant for us to live our life according to facts. Nowhere in the Bible is the word fact even, it's nowhere in the Bible. I searched and searched. Now, on the other hand, the truth, which is referred to as God's Word, it's listed throughout the Bible. God's truth is His Word. It never changes, never varies. It's like that big old rock out in the middle of the water. I didn't share with you, but you know that big old rock that Lenny landed on? God set that rock there. And you know what? That water's been beating against that rock every day. I'm sure there have been stumps and tree limbs and all kind of garbage, even a bunch of crazy pastors in a raft beating against that rock. And it stayed put. It hasn't moved. In fact, when we had Hurricane Katrina and Alvin and all those other ones that came and the water swell up and they go over the banks, I know that the water went over top of that rock and beat against it, but that rock never moved. And that's what God wants us to see is that we need to base our lives not upon facts, but upon the truth, which is His Word. His Word isn't going to change on you. It's going to be the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I'm going to give you three verses here that confirm that God never changes and never varies. You know these verses, but it's good to build a foundation for what we're talking about. We're building a foundation for Jeremiah 29:11. And here's the scriptures. Hebrews 13:8, it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You heard Pastor Steve pray that. So God is working as you heard. We sang about that this morning. So Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You say, well, yeah, that's Jesus, Pastor Chris. Well, remember in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, you go down to John 1:14, and it says, the Word became flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Word became flesh. Not only was it good enough that God gave us His Word, that we can look in here and see His will and see what He would do in situations, He gave us Jesus. And Jesus confirms the Word. Jesus is the exact representation of God Almighty. If I want to know what God would do in a situation, if I want to know what He would think about something, what He would say, all I have to do is look to Jesus. Because Jesus was the living Word. Okay? So when we say that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we could also say, and not remove anything from the Word, is say the Word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? That's good news, guys. Listen, James 1:17 says, it's up there on the screen, it says that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Every good and perfect gift. So if it's not good, it's not from God. If it's not perfect, it's not from God. It says, because there is no shadow of turning, no variation in Him. So we already have looked and said that the Word and God are one, and the Word and God and Jesus are one. And we also can understand now that that Word does not change, it does not vary. You can count on it yesterday, today, and forever. And then the last scripture confirming this is Malachi 3:6, and it'll be up on your screen. Or if Pastor John was here, you know he'd be saying Malachi 3:6, because everything has to have an Italian tone, right? Malachi 3:6 says, and this is God speaking, say, this is God speaking to me. One more time, that was weak. This is God speaking to me. All right. For I am the Lord God. I do not change. Well, we could wrap it up right there then, right? Say we've had church. Listen, this is God speaking. He says, I'm not changing. I'm not varying. There is no shadow of turning with me. You can count on me day in, day out, every day. So when I say to you that I have a plan and purpose for you, and I want you to succeed, and I want you to prosper, and I want you to have a bright hope, and a bright 2013. I want tomorrow to be brighter than yesterday. You can count on that, guys. You can be assured that he's saying the same thing tomorrow. He's going to say the same thing next week. He does not change. He does not vary. In this world in which we live in, everything is changing and varying around us. There is only one thing that never changes or varies, and that's God and His Word. Here's some enlightening news for you. Yesterday is gone. And in only a matter of a couple days, 2013 is out of here. 2012. I'm getting way ahead of myself. I'm looking way down the road. 2012 is out of here. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do about 10 minutes ago. But you can do something about what's ahead of you. You can do something about tomorrow and something about your 2013. What would you like next year to be like, guys? Come on now. You have to have a confident expectation that something good is coming my way. You have to have a confident expectation that 2013 is going to be a whole lot better than 2012. For if you cannot see it down in here, then you'll never see it out here. And how you see it down here is by putting God's Word into your heart, okay, and meditating on it. What would you like 2013 to be like for your family, for your business, the vocation that you're in, for you're in the ministry that God's called you to be? You know, each one of you are called to be in ministry. Each one of you have a gift and talent that we need here to complete this church. So what's your 2013 looking like? What can you see it? What God would have planned for you? What He wants you to do? He's already set you and I up to be victorious. He's already set you and I up to be more than conquerors. He's already set us up to triumph in life. Those are all verses from God's Word. 2 Corinthians 2:14, 1 Corinthians 15:57, Romans 8:37. I've put those rocks, I've got those rocks out of God's Word, and I've put them into my life, and I confess them every day, that no matter what is breaking loose around me, no matter if I get thrown out of my boat, I'm always victorious, I'm always triumphant, and I'm always more than a conqueror through Him who loves me. You need those for your life. Because life happens, and the current can sweep you away. Will you be standing on a rock, or will you be going down through the river getting beat up? So many Christians want God to do something. They're like, man, I sure wish He would change my life. I sure wish He would change my future. I sure wish He would do something about tomorrow for me. I hear you, but they're waiting for God to do something. And I'm here to tell you today, guys, God's not going to do it. I said He's not going to do it. Now, that'll shake your religious thinking for a while. He's already done it. He's already done it. God has put your rocks for your security and your safety in place before the foundations of the world. You're not taking God by surprise when you fall out of the raft. You're not taking God by surprise when you run into a boulder or you run into a hindrance. God has already given you His precious promises, which are all yes and amen to you, my children. He's given you His promises before the foundations of the world. We're not trying to get God to do something. He's already done it. And He's saying, hey, my children, I've done it for you already. And just like we just had Christmas, guys, and you know, my house, I don't know what it's like in your house, we still have little kids. But you unwrap all the presents and the kids are still looking. Is there any more under there? Is there any more? You know, there's got to be one more tucked under there. And maybe you've accepted Jesus. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but you never opened up that package. You never applied that package to your life. Okay? God's already given it to you. It's up to you and I to appropriate His precious promises. It's up to you and I to dig into His Word and find the rock for our situation, for our circumstance. How do we do that, Pastor Chris? How do I do that? Here comes the application, okay? Here comes the application. You've already understood, we've already got understanding now that God's Word is truth. It never changes. It never varies. You can count on it day in and day out. Here's the application for it. I'm going to show you a short little blurb from a video, and you can watch it right now.
I really am a mean and despicable creature at heart, you know. It's so difficult to really change.
Difficult? Why, look here. Changing from bad to good's as easy as taking your first step. Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking across the floor. Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking out the door. You never will get where you're going if you never get up on your feet. Come on, there's a good tailwind blowing. A fast walking man is hard to beat.
You can tell I still have kids, and we love Christmas movies. But that is a good application right there. If you're not going to get up off your rear end, and you're not going to take one step, it's going to be very difficult for you to get from here to there. And if you want something to change in your life, if you want tomorrow to be different than today, something's got to change. Something's got to give. And God's saying to you and I, I'll meet you. Just put one foot in front of the other. Okay? Put one foot in front of the other. Pretty soon, I'll be over here. You know? And then, if I keep putting one foot in front of the other, pretty soon I'll be walking out the door. 2012 will be behind me. 2013 will be bright. And so many times, guys, we as Christians, including myself, I'm talking to myself here, we want to be over there right now. And we want to be out the door right now. And we won't settle. We get discouraged when we don't get there right now. We get frustrated and we stop. And we're an idol. And God, all God's saying is put one foot in front of the other. And my grace will attach itself to your faith. And pretty soon, you'll be over there. And then before you know it, you'll be over there and you'll be looking back and saying, I don't know how it happened, but thank you, Lord. It had to be you. Okay? So many times people want God to show them everything outside the door. And He's not going to do it, guys. Why would He give you light for outside the door when all we need is light for the next step? We need light for right here. I don't need light for over there. I'm right here. And see, we get all frustrated. We get all hung up because we want to be over there. Why aren't you lighting that all up, God? Why can't I? And guys, we're to live and walk by faith. Every time I take one step, I'm taking it by faith. And He's lighting the path in front of me so my feet do not stumble. And His grace comes alongside, and we're able to accomplish everything that He said that we could through His Word. Do you believe that today? I'm going to give you four steps to put that in process, to put that application in process. First, number one, find a promise. Find a promise. You find your promise for your situation. We can help you here as a church. We can help you as pastors. We have resources here at a church that will help you. But you need to find your rock for your situation. When you found your rock for your situation, you'll be able to stand on that and you'll be able to be firmly planted. You know, I'd love to say that I could go home with you when you're going through a difficult time and encourage you and exhort you, that we'd always have somebody alongside you at all times. So there's going to be times when you're by yourself and life's going to throw a hurdle at you. And you need to have that nugget. You need to have that rock firmly planted. Put down on the inside of you. So when that circumstance comes, you're not trying to find it then. You already have it. Amen? So you find that promise, you find that truth from God's Word, and you know that it's never going to change or vary for you. Number two, you meditate on it. You think upon it. You think upon that rock that you found for your situation out of God's Word. And you give that rock, you give that promise more attention than you do the problem. We go, find out we got a problem or circumstance, and then we get on the internet, and we call people, and we dig around and find all the ins and outs of it. God's saying, that's subject to change. You get yourself planted on my word, and you'll be safe and secure and firmly planted. So we want to meditate on God's word. The next thing we do is we speak it out. So we found a promise. We put it down into our heart. The Bible says that the heart is the ground, our spirit's the ground, and the word is the seed. So when I found God's word and I put it down into my heart and I meditate on it day and night, night and day, and I look at that word and I give it lots of attention, it says that the seed goes down into good ground, and eventually, as I feed that and I meditate on it and I fertilize it, water it, it's got to come out somewhere. And where it comes out is your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, the Bible says. So when I speak God's word, it sets things in motion. Just as when He spoke, things went into motion. You have to believe in the power of your words. And your words are going to be God's words that you took from His word and put down inside your ground that are now producing for you. Step number 4. What do? When you know that you've received? Come on. What do you know? You know what to do. It's the first thing we teach our children. The first thing we teach our kids. You know, my daughter Lydia has it down. My son Christian doesn't have it down yet. I got to keep telling him, say thank you when someone gives you something. Well, if you believe that you've received from God, what's the proper thing to do? Come on, give thanks. Come on, if you believe that this word is true, that He's not a man that He should lie, that every word of God does not return to Him void, but it accomplishes exactly what He set out for it to do, and you apply that word and you put it down inside of you and you confess it with your mouth, you speak it out, the same as you received your salvation, you shall receive the promise. Then you say, thank you. Thank you, Lord, I have it. And you know what sends the enemy to flight? You know what you want to get the enemy to back off? Because the enemy is the hindrances. The enemy is the raging river. The enemy is the one that tries to put you under and beat you up. You want to put him to flight? You start praising and thanking God before you see it. You start thanking God that, you know what, God? I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you're going to take me across this floor 1 foot in front of the other. I'm going to thank and praise God that I'm going to be outside that door of 2012, and 2013 is going to be the best year I ever had. You want to put the enemy to flight? You start giving thanks and praising God before you have it out here. You got it down inside here. Okay? We're wrapping it up here. So I'm going to end with this. What are you expecting for 2013? What are you expecting in your life? How are we going to do it, Pastor Chris? By faith? By putting one foot in front of the other. Maybe you need healing, okay? Whatever that is. Maybe you need finances. Maybe you need relationships restored. Guys, this church, I started off by saying, this church is here for you. We're here to help you put one foot in front of the other. We're here to help you to make it across the floor. We're here to help you get out the door. Right outside these doors right out here, we have a library out there, a bookstore. That has lots of books in there that tell you about people that needed healing in their lives that put one foot in front of the other and received their healing from God. I think of one person, his name's Kenneth Hagin. They told him the fact of it was, they said that you'll never walk. They said your legs, you have this disease, you'll never walk, you're going to be bedfast the rest of your life. And he almost believed that. His family said that, you know, they confessed that over him. And somehow he got turned on to God's word where he saw that God said, by His stripes, you are healed. And he started pulling them nuggets out. He started pulling those rocks out of God's word. And he pulled himself up on that bedpost one day, hadn't walked in a long time, his legs were limp. And he said, God, I believe your word is true. I believe your word over these facts. And he put one foot out, and God met him with his grace. And he put another foot out, one foot in front of the other. Do you know that that person, that man called Kenneth Hagin, by putting one foot in front of the other, changed the world in which he lives in? If God did that for him, he will do it for you. God says in His Word, He's no respecter of persons. We have outside that, in that book room, that library over there, his name is David Ramsey. He's a guy that'll help you put one foot in front of the other to get your finances in order. We have classes here that'll help you put one foot in front of the other. If you have a broken marriage, and maybe things aren't going so good for you guys and your family, we have all kind of resources here that'll help you put one foot in front of the other to get your marriage back into where God wants it to be, according to His Word. At the end of the service today, in every service, we have prayer partners lined up here. They've been trained to help you put one foot in front of the other so that you'll be walking across the floor and then you'll be walking out the door. So, what you have to do, guys, is apply those things. You have to reach out and take them. You have to want them bad enough that you go after them. Okay? Did you receive something today? Did you receive it? Okay, with every head bowed and every eye closed. I don't know what you're going through today, but I know the one that is, the one that does know. And you know what? While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I want you to think about this. This isn't to bring any attention to me at all. But I know there's people, because I was one at one time, that said, you know, I hear what you're saying, Pastor, but you have no idea what I'm going through. You have no idea. I tried that. And sometimes people think because you stand up on a pulpit up here that things don't happen to you. And because you got a label, pastor, that things don't occur in your life. Well, our Christmas in our family this year was a little different. 2 days before Christmas, I jumped out of the side of my truck and I wrenched my back to where I couldn't walk. I couldn't get up. I couldn't put together the presents or clean the sidewalk off. I was in bad shape. What'd you do, Pastor Chris? Put one foot in front of the other. Found God's promises, stood on them, meditated on them. Christmas Day, we were celebrating Christmas. Opened all the presents. Sitting around a dinner table. And my dad had a massive stroke. What'd you do, Pastor Chris? The only thing I know to do, put one foot in front of the other. I know God's word to be true. I know God's for me and not against me. He's proven himself in my life, in his church's life, over and over again. So you might be the first time you've ever heard these things. You might not have ever opened a gift of Jesus. He is a gift. He will not force himself on you. He will not come in and take over your life. He's a gift. God sent the indescribable gift for you and I. Will you take that gift and accept it? Will you open up that gift of Jesus? Listen, guys, if you want a new start, if you want a new beginning, Jesus is the answer. And He's here for you today. You're not here by accident. It took a whole lot of doing to get you here today to hear this message. God loves you that much. The Bible says He loves you so much that He gave you Jesus. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you never made that decision, you never opened that gift. Maybe there's one more gift under your tree today. If something was to happen to you and you breathed your last breath, do you know where you would spend eternity? Listen, guys, there is an eternity. There's a real heaven, a real hell. Eternity is a long time to find out you made the wrong decision. God is for you. He loves you. He wants to help you. We won't single anyone out. We won't embarrass you. If you'd like to receive Jesus today, we'd ask that you just slip up your hand and we'll pray for you as a church. We're not going to call you forward or anything like that. We're going to make it as easy as possible. But you have to put up your hand as a sign of faith. And then we'll all pray together and you'll receive the best gift you've ever received. So right now, I'd ask you, if you'd say, Pastor Chris, I want you to pray with me. I'd ask you to slip up your hand real quick and then put it right back down. We'll pray for you. Is there anyone at all? Yes, I see that hand. Anyone else? Yes, I see it. Praise God. Anybody else? Come on, don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. Yes, I see it. Thank you. Anyone else? Just put it up real quick. I see that. Thank you. I see that. Praise God. Anybody else? Anybody else? You're well worth it. Jesus loves you. Loves you so much. Okay, we're going to all pray together as a family. You keep your head bowed, your eyes closed. I'd ask you just please repeat after me. Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. I believe today in Jesus. Jesus, come into my life. Make me new. Give me a new start. I believe that you died for my sins, that you were raised from the dead, and that you're preparing an eternal place for me. Thank you. And I declare today that Jesus is my Lord. Well, praise God. If you prayed that prayer, guys, welcome to the family of God. We're here for you. Let's give them a round of applause. I'd ask you to watch these announcements for the week.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to church. My name's Chris. Let's take a look at this week's video announcements. I hate to say it, but the holidays will be over before you know it. We're looking for volunteers who can help Michelle take down and pack away Christmas decorations on Thursday, January 3rd. Working together is a really great way to get to know other people from the church. You could come for all or just part of the day as your schedule allows. Lunch will be provided, so sign up online or just call the office and let us know when you're available to help.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.